joining me now by Skype is Boomer Reitnell. Boomer is running for the 9th District seat in the State House, a seat being vacated by Catty McCune. And he would like to represent us come this November. Good day, Boomer. How you doing?
Hey, just great, George Henry. It's great to be with you today.
Glad to have you here. And I'm not a longtime Oregonian, so I've only been here about 4 or 5 years now. So you've just recently come on my radar, and I'm sure there's other folks here that live here maybe a short-term period of time that may not know a little bit about you. I know you're an educator, but tell me a little bit about your background.
Well, I was raised in the Valley. I went to at a little community called Lorain, nestled right close to the King Estates, where it is now. And I went to Crow High School, graduated in a wonderful class of 41 kids, and with the Southern Oregon College and University of Oregon, and graduated with a BS degree in elementary education from Western. And so then moved to Florence in 1972 as a third grade teacher. And during the next 31 years, I taught third through sixth grade. I was the principal at Rotterdam Elementary. I was the principal at Siuslaw Middle School. And I was also the principal at Siuslaw Primary School. And then finished my career, like I said, after 31 years in Mapleton as the superintendent there. Since I wasn't ready for the rocking chair, I immediately almost got a job at Sea Lion Caves. So I got to spend 5 years running a multi-million dollar business that was just simply amazing, and got to meet people from all over the world and enjoy working with Travel Oregon and bringing tourism to Oregon. So that's kind of my background. I've done a little bit of everything.
So one of the things I love to listen to when educators talk about how many years they've been in a community teaching is that oftentimes, especially when you're teaching third grade or in those areas, oftentimes you are then teaching the kids of somebody you taught before. Did you have any of those experiences while you were in teaching?
Oh yeah, you bet. And that's the most fun part about it is you can actually work with the students of your students, and that's always an eye opener, and it's really enjoyable because, you know, should something happen, you can always call them up and say, hey, by the way, you know, this is Boomer calling, and I need a little help here. Or I want to provide help, and so you know, you live in the community long enough, you network, and if you do the right things, then people support you. And I've been very fortunate over my life that people seem to appreciate what I do, and I'm able to work with the students in a way that meets their needs, and of course the teachers' needs too.
So on the other side of the legislative aisle, our current Senator Arnie Roblin is also an educator. What is it about being an educator that you feel will make you a good state representative?
Well, I think the concept that working with people is the priority, and listening to the issues that people have, you know, whether I'm working with the teachers in general or the classified staff or the community or parents, the key aspect for a representative or a principal or superintendent is listening. You need to listen to people. You need to show compassion and understanding of what their needs are, and then try to work with them to solve those problems. And I think that those that I've gained as a superintendent or principal or teacher, and also that of a business person, allows me to understand that sometimes I just need to keep my mouth shut and listen to people, and then I'll know a whole lot more. Because, you know, when I go to Salem in January, one of the things that I need to do and to understand is it's not my voice that's important in Salem. It's the coastal voice. And that's my goal, to take some coastal common sense to Salem, because it's desperately needed.
Obviously, you've been mulling this a while now. Is this something that you've been wanting to do for some time? Or is this just something with the climate change over the past? And I don't mean that in the climate change sense, but I mean in the change of the political climate over the past few years, something that you've said, I need to do this.
Well, it sort of hit me all at once. I have thought about this for years. I was just never in a position where I felt like I could give to the people along the coast 100%. I am retired now. My wife is going to be retiring within the next couple of months, more than likely, and so we can get ready to go to Salem. So I have the ability now, the resources to be able to go to Salem and give 100% of my time and energy to be able to support the people along the coast. You know, as I look at what's happening in Salem, sometimes, as my local fisher people would say, you know, it's time to either fish or cut bait. And it's time to send somebody to Port Salem that has the common sense and the experience to be able to support the people down here. And because It seems to me that there's the agenda coming from Salem has to do with Portland, one size fits all. And that's not what we need down here. We need to have local control that we can use the money that sit to us in the way we need to. The schools need to do the same thing. That I came upon a excuse me, a quote by a gentleman I think most people know. His name is George S. Patton. And he said, you know, you never tell people how to do things. You tell them what to do, and then they will surprise you with their ingenuity. And I think that's what we need to do. We need, if there's a problem in the state and they want our help, just tell us, you know, what to do, and then get out of our way and let us do it. We are independent with amazing people here on the coach that will be able to innovate the kinds of things that we need to solve problems. They just need to get the heck out of our way so that we can do what we need to do here on the coast.
So how does that really work, though, in an environment that is pretty much dominated by the larger communities? How do you separate that out? How do you plan on separating that out to get more coastal influence involved in Salem?
Well, I think that our representatives need to vote their districts. I'm not a party person. I intend to go to the legislature and vote the coast. So I need to make sure that the voice of the Oregon coast is in Salem. That's the only way it's going to work. Of course, the major thing we have to do is we have to vote Republican. And the reason we need to do that is simply because of the supermajority in Salem right now in both the House and the Senate. The voice of rural Oregon is not being heard up there. If we look back over the history of the legislature, we find out when there's an equal number of Democrats and equal number of Republicans that actually things get done for the people. Right now, there's just a Portland agenda going on, and we need to do some things up in Salem right now as far as voting is concerned to make sure that we get an even representative and the legislators are forced to work together.
More than one seat's going to have to change in order to overcome the majority. Do you feel like the climate is right now for that?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. As I talk to people, one of the things that I explain to them concerning what the district represents and what they're supporting, in 2016, when Trump was elected, he was elected by about 13%. Also, the polls that I've seen over the last few months have indicated that people are sort of tired of what's happening in Salem. They're fed up with the Portland agenda. They want somebody that's going to go to Salem and be able to represent them. And unfortunately, over the last number of years, it's only been the Democratic Party that's been representing this district. And unfortunately, there are times like the vote on the CAT tax, the corporate activity tax, which is coming down on us right now, was voted for by both Arnie and Caddy McEwen. And unfortunately, that's not going to help the coastal communities with job growth and prosperity by any means. So I think people are just fed up, and they're ready for a change.
So you mentioned about having the representation there and representing the coast. Do you feel that the Democratic folks in the majority are actually representing their Democratic base? And this is kind of based on what I've heard other people saying, not my personal feelings. But it just seems like so many people are tired of the out-of-touch people that are representing us, regardless of what side they're on.
I agree. I think it appears to me, I agree with you 100%. It appears to me that there's an agenda. And they're going to, as Kate Brown has been doing, kind of forcing it down our throats. And it's very, very toxic. It doesn't help rural Oregon at all. It seems to be more focused on the Portland metropolitan area of I-5 and whatever they want to do. I'm not sure right now that we need more bike lanes, nor do we need electric charging stations. I think we have more problems here on the coast than that. You look at Lane County and in Florence, and Florence is a wonderful place to live. I lived there for darn near 50 years, and I'm living in Reedsport now with my wife Susan, who's a nurse and works in Florence. But I lived there long enough to come to the understanding that people along the coast are very resilient, independent people, and just giving us a chance to do what we need to do in our community for what we need, not what happens in what works in Portland, is really important. Florence was really lucky. Well, not lucky. We had good leadership. We had great mayors and city council people who worked with people like Travel Oregon to bring tourism to the coast. And so we prospered. And we've also, you know, been fortunate enough to be rated as, what, at one time, the number one retirement community in the country. And so people came here and bought homes. And so from that, then service industry sprang up. So Florence was really lucky. The problems start, you know, of course, with the closure of our mills during the late 80s. And it really almost destroyed the economy and the communities of Reesport down. And they haven't recovered fully yet. And now with the CAT tax, the corporate activities tax, and with cap and trade, it's just going to destroy our businesses who are floundering right now, particularly with the coronavirus thing. We don't need that. And that's why I wrote that letter to the governor and saying, you know, we need to stop right now and delay the CAT tax so our businesses can get back on their feet. You know, we were very fortunate to have a really good quarter economically, and so businesses did well. And they're using those funds right now to keep their people and to stay alive. So we need to make sure that the governor knows that she needs to rescind that order, and we'll take care of the CAT tax down the road. But right now, all she's going to do is hurt business.
Now, you mentioned the coronavirus, obviously the pandemic that's going on right now. Politically, how has this changed the way you've had to approach running for office? Have you, you're sort of in a new lane here, and you're also in a new age with the way things are changing and the way things are having to be done. How has it affected the way you're campaigning?
Well, obviously, I'm not running door to door shaking hands. That's for sure. I got started a little bit early. I got started toward the end of January when I decided to run. And so immediately I started out in the communities in Florence and Yahats and Mapleton and Triangle Lake and Lakeside and Coos Bay and North Bend, and started meeting people, chatting with businesses to introduce myself and tell them where I stand on things. And so I got a little bit of a head start on the coronavirus. So right now I'm making phone calls and I'm becoming very techie. I am doing a lot of GoToMeeting and doing Skypes and Zooms and those kinds of things and making lots of phone calls. And fortunately, I have a great team around me that helps me get where I need to be and do the things that are going to benefit the coastal community. And I'm very thankful for that. The people who surround me keep me going, and I think we're going to do well in the election.
So here's a question I'm not sure anybody cares about except for Wayne and I. Wayne and I were actually talking about this on the air this morning. And we were curious as why you chose yellow. We thought it was a good idea,
It just stands out.
Yeah, it does.
That's what I wanted. I wanted something that just would kind of jump out at you and kind of go from there. I've always liked that. And of course, when I was up at Sea Lion Caves and working up there, a lot of their signs were yellow, and I was always appreciative of that. The yellow sign with the black letters just sort of jumped, and that's kind of where we went from there.
It's almost like you're letting everybody know there's warning, you're coming to Salem to do some business.
Isn't that the truth? Well, you know, George Henry, that's why they call me Boomer.
Yep.
You know, if I went by Dwayne, nobody would know who that is. Only my mother ever called me Dwayne. When I moved to Florence in 1972, I mentioned I was teaching third grade. Well, after about 3 months, my principal walked into my classroom and said, Dwayne, you're really doing a great job. We're going to give you a raise. And I said, well, wonderful. He said, yeah, that's the good news. The bad news is that we're firing the rest of the teachers in the building. And I said, you're kidding. He said, well, we just feel like if we open all the classroom doors in the school, you can teach the whole school from your room. And next day he sent a memo around about the Boomer in room 32. I've been Boomer ever since.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. Now, of course, there's no primary for you, but what do you see coming up in November?
There are two gentlemen who are running against me in the Democratic Party, and we'll see how that works out. So I think it'll be a spirited debate concerning the issues that are important along the coast, and they're significant. But in particular, they're different for each of the communities. Each of the communities I've been in and talked to people, whether it's the mayors or the city council people or the business or just the person on the street, every community is different. So what we have to do as legislators is to make sure that we take all those into consideration. If there's a problem at the state level or on the coast, we have really smart people here on the coast to do a whole bunch of wonderful things to make the coast life even better on a daily basis. And what we have to do is just say, we have a problem. Now, what do you think we ought to do? and giving some guidelines. And then, as I said before, just get out of our way and let us do what needs to be done for our students, for people of our community, and District 9 in the entirety. So I really think that what's happening in Salem, of course, is, again, it's a one-size-fits-all Portland agenda that doesn't work here on the coast. And so we need to send some coastal common sense, and I intend to take that coastal common sense with me in January to Salem.
Well, Boomer, it's been delightful having you on today. I'm sure that should you win in November, you'll do a bang-up job for the coastal community. So good luck to you and in this in political endeavor.
Well, I'm going to give it the best shot I can. And of course, the main thing that I will be doing for the next few months until the November general election is meeting with people and meeting with groups and making sure they know that I'm representing them. And I want to hear what the issues are. I know I've talked to Joe Henry, and I spent some time with him and some of the people at the port. So I have a pretty good idea of what kinds of things different, and the port in Florence acts much differently than the port in Reedsport or the port in Coos Bay. So I need to get in with the communities and talk and learn, and then take those issues up there. You know, I think there's a simple, commonplace plan for the Oregon coast, and that is we must champion small business because you know what. That's Americans' job and growth engine, and that's the only way we're going to get to prosperity here on the coast. And as I said before, how come, George Hendry, does it seem like the only people who don't understand that you can't tax yourself into prosperity are in Salem right now?
You gotta wonder, huh?
You gotta wonder.
Well, the thing is, whatever side of the aisle you're on, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, we all want jobs, we all want to work, we all want a safe environment. And so we do have some very common goals.
Oh, absolutely. And right now, we need to get back to work. I you know, a number of businesses I've talked to are floundering. And if we don't get people back to work, if we don't open our hospitals for the people who have underlying medical problems, we're going to lose more people to that than we may lose to the coronavirus. I'm real concerned that the plan that the governor has proposed has no dates. It's like, well, if it ever goes down, the number of people with corona rise, then at 14 days after that. So we're looking at June. There are a lot of businesses. In fact, I've already heard from some of the state legislators that the estimate is that we're going to lose 25% of our small businesses because they just can't continue to function without being in business.
Yeah.
So that has to start. Otherwise, Oregon is going to have a heck of a recession coming up.
Well, Boomer, thank you so much for being here this morning. Good luck to you. Again, you don't have to worry about the primary, so you can boom on ahead to the
You bet.
general
Thank you,
election.
George Henry, and God bless you, and I appreciate being on and anytime.
All right, come see us when you're in town, okay?
You bet you. Will do.
Oh, that is once the stay home, save lives order.
You bet.
And coming up next, we'll speak with the new interim principal at Sayusaw High School, that is, and Andy Greskowiak right after this.